This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday. Hopefully a freaky Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Thank you so much for listening to us on Sports Radio 810 WHB and watching us this week as we made our return to 38th the spot on TV weekday mornings from 6 until 7 a.m. And as always, all four shows live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. If you can't stand to look at us, you can listen to us on the radio. Either way, we appreciate it. Long week, but it's going to be a long weekend, so I'm good to go. I'm down for whatever SA. 7 o'clock, Stan Weber will join us. He'll be with us for a couple of segments in the 7 o'clock hour, and then Gary Lezak will be on the phone giving us the forecast. Gary will be very excited to deliver the forecast, a holiday forecast, although the weather on Monday may not excite a whole bunch of people. We'll find out what Gary Lezak has to say. Mike McFarland, former Royals catcher and regular guest on the Border Patrol, will be on at 8:05. Jarrett Sutton, former Mizzou basketball player and current NBA scout, will be with us at 8:30. And then Andrea Kramer will be on the show in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to talking to Andrea Kramer. And she is going to come on the show and talk a little bit about Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who, of course, we know here as a very fine offensive lineman protecting Patrick Mahomes II, and of course he also is his offseason is a little bit different. He is helping save lives, as we've seen what COVID-19, the pandemic, has done around the world. He turned to a second occupation as a medical professional, volunteering at a long-term health facility in Quebec, covering shifts for overworked and overtaxed healthcare professionals who need the help. And she's going to talk a little bit about what he has been doing. He is, first of all, if you've had a chance to interview him or be around him, you can just start right there. But he's clearly a hell of a guy and very smart. Not your typical NFL player. Right off the bat, when he first came into the league, I had him on one of the Chiefs shows that I would do live and in person around the city, and spent a good hour with him on the air. And he's a fascinating individual when you get to know a little bit behind the scenes. And so it's going to be interesting to see how they portray him with Andrea Kramer on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. And so she is updating her 2018 piece this month's episode. They originally talked about Laurent Duvernay-Tardif a couple of years ago. And so obviously with what has happened the past few months, his story deserves an update on Real Sports, so we'll talk to her. In that piece, he talks about his experience on the front lines and gives his thoughts on when it'll be safe for sports to return. And so I think that should be very interesting to talk to Andrea Kramer, who has spent some time with LDT talking about what he's doing right now. And so if you're interested in the Chiefs' offensive lineman, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and how he spent his offseason and what he's doing to help, you can listen to our interview with Andrea Kramer in the 9 o'clock hour. And again, she'll be updating for this month's episode of HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, updating her 2018 piece on LDT. And so we will, and also, she was involved in The Last Dance. And so why not ask her a couple of questions about how pissed off Michael Jordan is at everyone he played with and against back in the 90s. So I think that's always a good topic to get your weekend going in the right way. And so it's a full show for you. And we also will hear from a guy that just oozes excitement whenever he speaks to the media, and that's Bob Bowlsby. So we encourage you, we always want you to have your seatbelt on, but even if you're in your office cubicle or just sitting at home, if you have access to some type of seatbelt or restraint, you should probably make sure that is in use when we play the sound from Bob Bowlsby coming up in the next segment, because he will get the juices flowing. That's a guy that, you know, that's a guy that needs a microphone at all times, because he can light up a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm sure that today will be no different when we hear some comments that he made on ESPN Radio. So looking forward to that. That should really add some spice to the early part of the
sarcasm.
Nope.
The following is a smart-ass kind of tone.
You don't know that.
Charismatic, I think, is the word I would use.
Sarcasm.
It factor.
Yeah.
That it's hard to define.
Well, I know he has a background in wrestling, missed out on his opportunity to be a pro wrestler. The way he can work a mic and really...
So his background's in professional wrestling?
No, not professional wrestling. I think the other kind.
Oh. Okay.
But I'm saying he missed out because he could have been one heck of a professional wrestler with that charisma.
Incorrect.
Maybe.
The way, you know, the way he could really... get the crowd fired up.
Right. Well, he talks a lot about, he has different topics that he'll run through. And so we'll hear what Bob Bowlsby, commissioner of the Big 12, had to say. I'm sure that'll add plenty to the conversation. Talks a little bit about start times and restrictions and how long everyone's going to need to get ready to how long everyone's going to need to get ready for the season. And so we'll hear from Bob Bowlsby, Big 12 commissioner, coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Nate Bucati, what do you have going on? You always have something going on for Sporting Kansas City or soccer. What do you have going on today?
Well,
or this weekend?
Yeah. Today, I am probably going to have to head home during the Gary Lezak hour to do the show from the confines of my home the rest of the way, because for some reason my baby Andy's daycare is closed on this Friday because of the holiday weekend. I don't understand why Friday involves that, because today's not a holiday, but Monday is. But so my wife has to go to work, so that will happen. On Saturday night, you will be able to watch the 2015 U.S. Open Cup Final by Sporting Kansas City. They won in Philadelphia. That was my first year as a SKC broadcaster, and they won the U.S. Open Cup, so that was a fun one for me. And we watched this one back with Jacob Peterson and Tim Melia, who set a career high at that time for saves in a game. And saved two big penalties in the shootout at the end. And that was really the first year he became the starter for Sporting Kansas City. And he's gone on over the next 5 years to become basically the most accomplished goalkeeper in franchise history when it comes to shutouts and wins and saves and all those types of statistics. So, which is pretty impressive when you think about all the amazing goalkeepers they've had. Tony Meola and Tim Melia and Jimmy Nielsen, even... Kevin Hartman was a heck of a goalkeeper, too.
One thing those two guys have that you mentioned prior to Tim Melia.
An MLS Cup.
Yes.
Yes. So, and speaking of that, I did the I recorded this week, and I'm not sure. It's not going to air this weekend. I think it's next weekend. I recorded the 2000 MLS Cup with Peter Vermees and Kerry Zavagnin. and that was awesome. I hadn't watched that game in a long time. I watched it back to prepare for it and do the game with them. Tony Meola was incredible. He was the MVP of the league that year, and he was the MVP of that game, and he was phenomenal. So,
it's kind of, when you say most decorated, you need to preface statistically speaking.
Yeah, on an individual statistics basis. It doesn't mean he was the best or anything. You know, you could have that, we could have that debate. But anyways, it's still impressive that Tim Mealy has done that in those 5 years.
We can't have that debate.
And so, Tony Meola's big tones.
Yes.
Big tones.
That debate will not be had.
Yeah.
We can argue about number two all we want.
There you go. There you go.
But that'll be fun. I mean, it was so fun watching that back with Kerry and Peter. And they had not watched the game back in 20 years. So they had a lot of fun watching it. They told some awesome stories. You know, like the Jordan stuff about how Jordan's like so mad about everything. Peter's not like mad about everything, but he's got a little bit of that. Like, he told a story about, I asked him if he had any stories about trying to push his teammates to the limits, to test them to see if they had what it takes the way Jordan did. And he said that his first week of practice with Sporting, with the Wizards at the time, every day after practice, all the guys on the team were trying to impress the coach because he was kind of trying to decide who was going to make the team, and they were slapping each other on the butt saying, great practice, after every practice. And he said he was rooming with Kerry at the time, and he came home and was like, is everybody slapping you on the ass and saying good practice after these practices? What's the deal with that? And he came back, and the next time someone did that, he lit the guy up like, will you stop congratulating each other on having a good practice? That's what we're here to do. We haven't even played a game yet. It just went off on the whole team for having low expectations. So he has some really good stories like that. So anyways, that's coming up.
Or he just didn't want his ass touched.
Well, maybe that's it too.
And I can get that.
Ah, you know, come on. Everybody wants their ass touched a little bit, don't they? I don't know. Go ahead and clip that, Jake. Thank you. But tomorrow, Steven, my wife and kids and I are going to drive down to beautiful scenic Emporia, Kansas, where we are going to meet my mom and stepdad Joe and have a little social distance gathering since it's about halfway between here and Arc City. And we're going to have maybe like an outside picnic, hopefully if the weather holds, maybe do a little fishing. And my mom, this whole pandemic situation, my mom is really, really struggling with not seeing the grandkids, especially baby Andy, because it's been half of his life she hasn't seen him, right? Like, he's 6 months old and she hasn't seen him in at least 3 months. And I will say this for my mom, Stephen, I know how much you too adore your mothers. And, you know, it always hits me when Mother's Day comes around, I always think about you and Jake. My mom, for 15 years, since my oldest nephew Merrick was born, has driven to Kansas City from Arc City at least once every month for 15 years straight to see her grandkids. And I'm not saying she deserves a medal for that or anything, but that's how much she loves her grandkids. And that is a commitment, and that's something that she loves seeing her grandkids. That's, I think, her favorite thing in the world right now. So, it's been really difficult for her because I basically told her, you stay on that farm, you stay away from everybody. She's got some respiratory problems and all that, so she's at high risk. So we're trying to do something that allows her to see her grandkids but be responsible about it all at the same time. So I don't think I've ever thought I was going to be that excited to go to Emporia, Kansas, which used to be the meetup place on what we called the Divorce Express when we would have to... when my parents were divorced and we would have to drive back and forth from Arc City, we would meet at the Vista Burger in Emporia, Kansas every time. And that's where they would do the exchange of the kids. So I'm a little more excited this time around to be going to Emporia. So that's the big activity for me this weekend. What about you? You got anything big going on this weekend?
Nope.
I just...
No. Yes, sir. I'm acting live, but no.
That's good. You're hanging out with your fam, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go nowhere.
That's great.
I literally go no place. So, I mean, I could create something, but no.
No, I think that's great. It's just funny because I went on this long-winded, typical Bukati long-winded story.
Right now, I had it. I was going to tell you where I was going to go, but you took my time. So my answer is no. I really don't. No, I'm not complaining.
Right. Right.
I will go at some point. I will go and walk. I walked 4.5 miles yesterday.
Nice.
And so I've. I'm sore. Did some hills and stairs and stuff like that yesterday. I walk around the neighborhood, and so I'm gonna walk at some point. And we're doing stuff around the house, but suing the kids and everything else. I'm looking back at MLS Cup 2000, and what's your How did you guys watch that?
MLS Cup 2000?
Right.
I mean, like, when we went back and recorded it?
No, how did you originally watch it?
Originally? I don't really remember, to be perfectly honest with you. I had just gotten back to Kansas City. What I really remember about it was covering the celebration, which... I mean, to me, it's like one of those indicators of how far that club has come. Because, like, when they won MLS Cup in 2013, that pep rally happened in Union Station, and it was so packed. I don't know how many thousands of people were there that they couldn't fit everybody inside. You know, the big, huge hall in Union Station. It was packed going all the way through, like, the lobby and outside. Which, look, I know it's not the same as a parade for the Royals or the Chiefs, but it was tens of thousands of people there. And when they won it in 2000, they literally had like a tent outside of Arrowhead Stadium. It almost just seemed like a reception or something. And I remember I was working at the news radio station here in town at that time, and they sent me to go cover it. And it was a pretty small gathering. I mean, it was not like... it was not a big deal. I remember you've told a story about Whitlock, right? Were you with Jason Whitlock when that happened?
Yes. Jake, do you remember where you were?
I was in college still. I'm trying to think. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
boy.
No, it was during season. Yeah. So, and it was
in October.
Yeah, it was in October. Gosh, I was in Macomb. I think we had a home game over that weekend. And my parents were in town. So, and there was another guy on the team that was from Kansas City that was a freshman that year. Bobby Wallace. What's up, Bob? B-dub. So I remember, I think I watched it at a sports bar in Macomb with my parents and Bobby's family. Dude, you're asking me to go back to when I was 20.
Well, it's
Yeah, no, it's, I just remember, I remember being in Macomb, Illinois, and I remember having played a game around it. I don't think we had a game that day. I think we had a game over that weekend a home game. So, anyways, yeah, I was in college.
Trying to figure out what the start time was.
It was in the afternoon. Yeah. I want to say it was like around 2 o'clock or something like that.
Because Whitlock and I and the rest of the Kansas City media were. It's very difficult to keep your eye on that, considering it's during a Chiefs Raiders game.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
which seems like a tough sell for the Kansas City sports fan.
Well, I just remember dad being extremely pissed off during that Chiefs game and not wanting to watch anything to have to do with it, because it was Gannon Gerback game.
That was just an awful Gerback game.
Yeah,
won by the Raiders 20-17.
Oh boy. So Bob was a big Rich Gannon guy. I think a lot of Kansas
City.
The
Chiefs were up 17-7 at halftime, and then the Raiders went ahead and scored all the points won the second half 13-0 and won the game 20-17.
Yeah, on a Janikowski field goal, right?
I remember there were a few prominent media members that were either confused, unsure, or 100% oblivious to what was happening and why. There was one rather loud media member that was demanding the monitor close to him in the press box to be turned back to real football. Do you think that went over real well when one of the monitors in there was turned to the MLS Cup in the year 2000?
No,
right, it wasn't. You know, Whitlock said something like, after they won, so they won it all? I said, yeah, that's it. You know, they can't go any further than that.
That was a 2:30 kick. That game kicked off Central Time, 2:30. It was played in.
Oh, yeah, it kicked off right when everything was happening at Arrowhead during the
right in the third
fourth quarter meltdown. Yeah. Jeez. Oh, jeez.
Right at the end of the third quarter, you know, Oakland down 7. Fourth quarter about to start at about 2:30. And then,
And that was back when they played MLS Cup in neutral site venues.
Correct. That was at RFK.
Yeah. So, because like now, you know, in the current format, the Wizards would have played that game at home, theoretically. So, like,
Get me Yolda on the show next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Done.
Yeah. No, that's what Whitlock was telling me.
I'm like, you don't have to give me an excuse to get a hold of Tony Meola.
We should do that. That'd be fun.
You know Meola, don't you? Yes, I do. Get him on the show.
That shows how much has changed, though. Like, the lead sports columnist in town did not even know that the game was happening.
No, he knew, but he was just, Whitlock knew, but didn't always know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes... He was aware of it, but just, you know.
He wasn't a big soccer fan.
Wasn't sure about all the details.
I was an intern, he told me, you know what? I told him, you know what? Soccer did a lot for me, Jason. It paid for all of my college. He goes, yeah, the people that get their college paid for playing the violin, too. And I was like,
he knew about things. You would tell him things, but then he would also, realize things.
Huh.
So they won it all. That's it? Yeah, they got it. They got it. My point of bringing that up was look how far things have come and everything else.
Yeah.
That was I have a very good recollection of that afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. And boy, let me tell you, Jake, your dad wasn't the only one super pissed off watching Rich Gannon lead the Raiders to a comeback victory.
No, he was proud over to have the Chiefs game on in the sports bar, but not be watching a second of it. You know, like, I'm glad the Wizards are in MLS Cup Finals. I have something to watch that I care about.
Slimo had 4 catches for 64 yards. That's not a bad afternoon at the office.
You want me to care about this team with Elvis Gerback as the quarterback?
Big day in Kansas City sports back on October 15th in the year 2000. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Elvis Gerback laughed at me.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby was on Get Up. And that's a perfect show for him. He makes you want to get up, get fired up, get crazy. So let's hear what the Big 12 commish had to say on Get Up. Here, Double B tells us that there will need to be 6 weeks to get ready for the season.
There are just an awful lot of things that we have to think about that have never been factors before. And so there is going to be a new normal. I'm confident that we're going to have a chance to play some football in the fall. And as you said in the opening, we need about 6 weeks to get ready for it. We need a couple weeks of reacclimation and then probably 4 weeks of preseason camp like we've traditionally had.
Here's some more from Bob Boolsby. Bob Boolsby now informs us that COVID-19 is not going away.
Well, I'd repose the question to say how reasonable will the virus be in allowing us to do those kinds of things? Because this is going to be around like chickenpox and HIV and SARS. It isn't going away. And
you ever, when you were in school, did you ever have an instructor or a professor that you knew, and boy, let's say it was even a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday class where you were going to be in there for about an hour and a half, and you knew that it was going to take everything in your power not to fall asleep during the class?
Oh, yeah.
Just because of this instructor or this teacher's voice and just how boring the class would be, and you, anything you could do to try to act like you were paying attention or to take any notes without falling asleep or without being distracted from moment one. I had a big problem with that. I used to have to take the Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes as much as I could, the shorter classes, because just an hour and a half listening to a lecture was not my thing. But that reminds me of Bob Boolsby. I can listen to him at about 45 second to 1 minute chunks, and after that, it's, you got to shift gears, baby. So I apologize out there. Are you taking notes, Jake, from Bob Boolsby?
There's tedious
gonna quiz. There's going to be a quiz on this material at 9:30.
I'll be ready. I'll be ready.
Here, Bob Boolsby says the virus will define how everything progresses.
But we also have to remember one thing. The virus is going to define how this progresses. We will have disruptions during the season. I fully expect that we'll have an outbreak on Wednesday afternoon, and games may need to be canceled on Saturday. We'll need to understand shutdown procedures and how we go about quarantining when the need arises. Campuses are petri dishes for the delivery of viruses, and when the flu, cold, and virus season comes back, we'll have some challenges on our hands. And so I just think we have to be patient. I think we have to be thoughtful and make sure that we keep student athlete health and safety first and foremost, and of course all the people around it.
Usually dorm rooms are pretty much spick and span, aren't they?
Yep. Spotless.
I don't see any problems. Everything should be fine.
I think college kids are notoriously hygienic.
Right. Well, Nate, Mike Boddicker called in. He wanted to correct you.
What did I
say? Bob Boolsby was not the wrestler. His brother was an All-American heavyweight wrestler at Iowa.
Okay.
His brother John. John Boolsby was the wrestler.
What did Bob do?
According to Mike Boddicker, Bob tried to drink Iowa City dry.
Wow. Let's talk about that for a moment. Boy, boy.
Maybe he's a little more fun than you thought.
Because it also might be why he sounds the way he sounds.
Yeah.
Two Bob Boolsbys. You know, this Bob Boolsby, and then you get a little 360 vodka in him, and all of a sudden he's the life of the party.
Shirt off, dancing on tables.
Boddicker, he goes, no, his brother John was a wrestler. Bob was the one to try to drink Iowa City dry.
It's a hell of a description. Well, let's hear more from Bob Boolsby, see if we get any of that Bob here in this next clip. He says, everyone will not start at the same time.
and they make decisions relative to their campuses. And so I think we're going to have to get comfortable with the fact that everybody may not be able to start on time and everybody may not be able to continue without interruption. And we're just going to have to deal with those things. And, you know, if we get to the middle of the football season and one conference has a significant outbreak with four or five teams infected, it may be that we have to go to plan B or plan C or plan D. But we're starting out to play a regular football season and to get teams ready. And as has been mentioned earlier in the show, kids want to play, coaches want to coach, fans want to watch. And we'll just have to see how the whole thing plays itself out. But you know, we haven't been told that we can't do any.
And we want to make money. And college football is where we make all our money in the NCAA. And
that's right.
If we don't make that money, then we can't have all the other sports because we fund most of the other sports with what we make. And all us as administrators get million-dollar salaries because of football. So we we need to play.
What do you think his salary is?
Bob Bowlesby? I would assume somewhere around $2 million a year.
Jake?
I'll go $999,000.
$999 million. Wow.
No. I bet he makes about 1.3, 1.4 mil.
This article, May 25th, 2019, says Big 12 head honcho Bob Bowlesby was bumped to a total of $4.1 million.
Yeah. Whew. Amateur athletics.
Well deserved.
Look, I mean, when you think about how much money a conference like the Big 12 brings in on a percentage basis for the guy that runs that whole conference, theoretically, that's not outlandish. It's just funny to me that that's like this is all under the auspice of amateur athletics, you know, with this amateurs out there.
Non-for-profit. Nate.
So the kids that are supposed to go out there and play these games amidst the pandemic, you know, they're not getting paid.
Not for profit, Nate.
No.
Here, we'll close the segment with a good tweet that goes back to our conversation about the media covering the Wizards when they won MLS Cup 2000. Our friend Sean Curry tweets in, I was at the Wizards celebration in 2000. I shook Lamar Hunt's hand. People were harassing Jason Whitlock for finally covering the Wizards. He yelled back at them, hey, you want me to cover this or not? So a good back and forth there between, do you want me to cover this or not? Jake, could you
that's actually a good comeback.
Right? No,
that's a good comeback. That's
it's wonderful. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we all, every hey, soccer, everyone that loves a certain sport,
yeah,
you know, whether I hear it from people that love MMA or boxing or soccer or you name it, okay? Sports that are considered mainstream that don't get the coverage that football and baseball and basketball get. There's a segment of those fans that get mad and pissed off when people won't cover their sport, and when their sport gets covered, they get mad and pissed off about the way it's covered.
Right.
And so there's no happiness that could be reached.
The happiness is in making sure that everybody knows that you know more about that sport than they do.
Do you want me to cover this or not? I can see that. I can see that like it was in front of me. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. It is Friday, May 22nd, 2020. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, I want to mention this stupid article that I retweeted yesterday with laughing emojis. And I've done a pretty good job not getting wrapped up in this stuff emotionally, but I feel like yesterday I just snapped when I saw this, and I heard people talking about this. I just it's so stupid. I hate to even talk about it, but I'm going to because they got me. Okay, I took the bait. Reel me in with this clickbait. It, get me all fired up already. I haven't even talked about it yet. BleacherReport.com, their NFL section. They had the Bleacher Report NFL staff, seven guys, sit down, and they were asked if they would take Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. I am someone, I said Lamar Jackson was the best quarterback in that class when he came out. I've said that on this radio station, on different shows. I argue with people about it. And it wasn't, I mean, I just wasn't in love with the other quarterbacks. I said, you know what, I think I take Lamar Jackson out of this class. And so I've been a supporter of Lamar Jackson. And I've enjoyed watching him play. But this talk that he's anything close to Patrick Mahomes is ridiculous. It's silly. And Lamar Jackson's pretty damn good. But he's I don't care. He's not in the neighborhood of Patrick Mahomes. He's not. And these geniuses sat down and had a vote. The vote was 4-3. You don't even have to hear who won the vote. The fact that it was 4-3, it's moronic. And so the only explanation that I can have that makes any sense is they know this, and they told three guys, hey, we're going to need you to vote for Lamar so we could have a lot of clicks, clickbait, make it interesting, and everyone will be talking about it. Well, go fishing. Job well done. And that's what I am going to assume to make it make sense to me. Because if you cover the NFL and you think there's any question of who's better between Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, you need to either have your head examined or you need to find another job. You need to leave just go for a long walk, about a 5-hour walk. And let's sit down and let's take a look at the last two postseasons. Because that matters, by the way. Let's take a look at these playoff games and see what you think of those performances. And let's take a look at the two head-to-head matchups as well.
What are we thinking? Do we have time to run Walsh? If it's first and 10, Walsh. Or any down in distance. I don't care.
We already have to break. You could get me going for about 45 minutes on this, and we might with Stan Weber. And I don't want to be the guy that brings down Lamar Jackson because
don't make him do it.
I like Lamar Jackson. I was on the bandwagon, but I will turn this bandwagon around.
Oh yeah.
Keep comparing him. There's no comparison. And for three NFL writers to say they'd rather have Lamar Jackson than Patrick Mahomes, what the hell is wrong with you? I would like to know what you're smoking. I know Jake would.
Hmm.
It's got to be pretty potent. I wonder if they were smoking. Let's take a break before. Let me have a glass of water here, and we'll just let this continue over to the next segment and into Stan Weber because that was just enough. I've just had it with this. It's just. It's stupid, and I'm stupid too for taking the bait. I'm a moron for letting this even bother me for a moment because it's so dumb. I hate it. These people, these damn national NFL pundits. Take a break. I'm going to watch some Super Bowl highlights with Patrick Mahomes on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I just had some water and I took some vitamins in the commercial break, so that has eased my troubles.
How are you doing?
How are y'all doing?
But again, what? And we're talking about people that are paid to cover the NFL. Ty Dunn. Mike Freeman, which that does not surprise me. He has some of the worst takes that I, and he's got to be a troll. There's some of the stuff that he says, he can't really believe that, but who knows? And then I don't even know who the hell, Brent Sobleski. Those are the three guys that voted for Lamar Jackson.
They can have him. So good for them. They can have him.
It's clickbait, right? It's clickbait.
Oh, probably.
Could you really believe that? Could you honestly, in your heart of hearts, believe that?
Well, I think that in today's world, people a lot of times are making statements based on the fact that they're trying to make a statement. And, you know, like Lamar Jackson has been this, like, polarizing figure. It's almost like it's
clickbait.
If you believe in Lamar Jackson, you're woke, and if you don't believe in him, you're not woke. You know, things like that. And so,
listen to me. You're known as clickbait Nate for a reason.
That's right. Clickbait Nate.
I know about this. They don't call you clickbait Nate for nothing.
I kind of like that.
You know it.
You know how to like sniff that, name.
You know how to sniff out that stink bait, don't you?
Yeah.
Take a whiff of that.
Yeah.
What's it smell like? Clickbait. Jake, that's old clickbait Nate over there.
Yeah.
You know that. That's what he is on Twitter. Back after this, I can't wait to get Stan Weber involved. Stan Weber's probably doing a U-turn right now. Get me the hell away from St. John. He's acting crazy today. So what? It's going to be a 3-day weekend. I'm in for it. Back after this on WHB. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot and listening on Sports Radio 810. Up next, Stan Weber and then Gary Lezak. Mike McFarlane will be on the show just after 8 o'clock. Also, we will, after we talk to our good friend Mike McFarlane, we'll check in with Jarrett Sutton, another good friend. And then Andrea Kramer will talk about Real Sports with Brian Gumbel and The Last Dance in the 9 o'clock hour. All that and more coming up right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.